Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Kids, so if you're single here this morning and you say, man, it's not really for me. Oh, no, it's for you too, I promise you. But we've been in this series called House Divided. And we've been talking about how to keep the enemy out of our home. Amen. Because the devil's trying to find a place. But he's got to have somebody to give him an open door. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says that God put Adam in the garden to tend and to keep the garden. Tend and keep it. He was to cultivate in an environment, and he was to guard, to tend and to keep. The garden, now listen now, the garden wasn't just a terrain or a geographical area. The garden was also an environment. And the garden theme leaps all through Scripture. You start looking at this, and you from Genesis to Revelation, actually, the very last chapter of the book of Revelation talks about a garden. It talks about heaven and on earth and the garden, and this is what it was. This is what Adam was experiencing, was heaven on earth. Amen. So it was an environment of peace and stability and love, and there was no conflict, there was no shame. It was a place of relationship and trust and provision. This was all prior to the fall. Prior to the fall. It was heaven on earth. So Adam was to tend that environment, cultivate that environment, and he was to keep it. Because things thrive in right environments. So it's been almost a year when my mom passed. She passed on my birthday last year. We get to share a date together. And November 27th, my birthday is coming up. I got lots of things. If you want to ask me what you want to get me, I can let you know. I've got plenty of things. But we got a peace lily during that time, you know. And that peace lily is still in my house. And Mrs. Peace Lily sometimes gets really, really droopy. Matter of fact, this morning, guess what? It was really, really droopy. But all it needs is a little bit of TLC. And as soon as we water that peace lily in my home, you know what will happen? The next day, that thing is standing back up. Right now, her leaves are like this. Mm-hmm. But when we water it, it comes back to life. It's the same thing in your marriage and your relationships. If we'll just water them, they'll come back to life.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
They will come back to life. So Adam was to cultivate and guard his home. This was an environment there was no sin in. And God told him to guard it. Why? Because there was an enemy that was outside the garden trying to find his way in. Come on, somebody. It's the same thing. So when sin came in, it fractured Eden. Division entered. Blame shifting started to happen. Shame and hiding. We've been dealing with it ever since. And you and I have to wake up to this because this isn't the way, not the way that Christ called us to live. Amen? So go with me to Mark chapter 3. We've been in this scripture here. I want to read it again, but we'll get to baptizing here in a little while. I got a little bit to share, though. Mark chapter 3. Well, you got your Bibles today. We forgot to do our Bible. You got them? Or your pixels? Lift your phone up if you got your phone. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible, God's Word for me. I can do what it says I can do. And I can. Today. To hear. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Mark chapter 3, praise the Lord. Verse 23. So he called to them himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. So just want you again, we've been looking at this scripture, but verse 25 says, a house that is divided cannot stand. If your home has division in it, if division is going on in your home, it is causing the adversary, it's a place for the adversary to operate. Because the adversary hates unity. And if you and me and in our homes, if we will actually stay unified and we will have one vision and not division, guess what starts to happen? The peace literally starts to come to life again, amen? And all of a sudden, the enemy can't find a way in. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes fighting. There's only one reason you fight with your spouse, because you think you're right. Well, thank you. Thank you, sister. Whoever said that, thank you. $10 for you. The Bible says in James chapter 3, where there's envy and self-seeking, there's confusion or chaos in every evil work. Every evil work is found in self-seeking, in envy, selfishness. What causes marital issues? Ready? Selfishness. Oh, not me. No, probably so. Because you just said that. We all are battling selfishness. It's got to get worked out of our lives. This is why you're married. One reason you're married is it's a sanctifier. God uses your marriage actually to sanctify you, to help you. There's nobody that can speak life over you like your spouse, but nobody can rub you the wrong way. Just like your spouse. And my wife says, amen. It's true. But it's through Christ we're invited to rebuild Eden. I want you to hear that. It's through Christ. Now we're invited to rebuild Eden-like environments in our home. Homes of peace, homes of love, homes of the presence of the Lord, right? Because why? You and I are carrying the presence of God. The Bible says you now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And you and your spouse, when you are together, listen here, you are a dynamic duo. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. When you get in unity, there is power in the middle of that. You want your home to collapse? Bring division in it. It's through Christ. The new covenant, listen now, I want you to hear this. The new covenant that you and I are living in, it's not about returning to a garden, it's about becoming one. Why? Because the garden is now on the inside of you and me. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not here or there. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Therefore, righteousness, peace, and joy, and the kingdom of God is on the inside of you and on the inside of me. Can I get a good amen? So Eden is to be recreated in our home. Love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness. Long suffering. It's got to be cultivated. Cultivated. So we have to guard against it. Tend and keep your garden. Tend and keep your home. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, I'll put up on the screen and we'll turn for, you don't have to turn here to this one. I want you to see this one right here. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He's given us the The what? To fill our hearts with His what? So because you, when you got born again, when you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you repented of your sins, right? The Bible says the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And the Bible says right here, the Holy Spirit is there to pour His love in us. So you and I as Christians have the love of God in us. And that's what I want to build on for a little bit here. The love of God. Because love is in you. When I'm talking about love today, we have a misconception in our world, right, what love is. But when the Bible talks about the love of God, right, for God so loved the world, it's the Greek word agape. It's the Greek word agape, A-G-A-P-E, agape. And the word agape means self-sacrificial. It means other-centered. It means self-giving care and concern and affection. It means to seek the highest good of another person. Now, I want you to hear that. Love, the love of God, is the seeking of the highest good of another person. Now, I'm telling you, if we are seeking the highest good of our spouse, of the people that we work with, of our kids, listen, this is why Paul would say, love never fails. Why? It's self-sacrificial. So in our homes, the love of God, if you're born again this morning, the love of God, the self-sacrificial, self-effacing, the seeking the highest good, this love is in you as a believer. It's in there. You have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to release love into your homes. Not through your power, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without Christ, you can't do this. Without Jesus, you can't love like that. There's no possible way. Because this is supernatural love.
Amen.
You may be able to do things on willpower alone for a while, but that willpower, you'll run out. You'll say, no, I ain't doing that no more. Come on, you can make changes. We're getting ready to come up on January. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to run every day. I'm going to walk. I'm going to change my habits, right? And that works for about what? 3 months, maybe some for 3 days. Right? Because you can make change on willpower alone for a bit. But you can't, listen, true change comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is supernatural. When I got born again, God's Spirit took up residence inside of me. Now there's a law that's on the inside of me called the law of love, and it's the law of thrust and lift. It takes me, it causes me to be able to lift up when gravity, be able to be able to, I'm thinking about the word. Hold on. Supersede the law of gravity. How do you get that plane off the ground? A 747 jumbo plane. How does that happen? Right? Right? How's that happen? Because I could drop something right now, and guess what happens to it? Because of why? But how do you get a 747 jumbo plane off the ground? Through a law that supersedes the law of gravity. That's the Holy Spirit. You're not able to do this without Him.
Amen. That's good, man. That's good.
The love of God. So this love of God is not of the world. And we have to be born of God in order to know the love of God and to be able to operate in it. Now go with me to 1 John real quick. You guys all right? Praise the Lord. I reposted a meme yesterday evening. Thank you, Angie. I reposted a meme yesterday evening because, you know, some guys on Facebook, you know, everybody there, right, starts talking about something about the people adjusting thermostats in the church. Must be thinking that shivering's a form of worship. So I gave the roly eyes and I had a few people comment. I appreciate it. I'm here. This is love today. I'm self-sacrificing. Because you don't know how hot it is up here. All right, look here. All right, verse John 4. Listen to what the Bible says in verses 7 and 8. Beloved, aren't oh my gosh, agapetos. That's one of my favorite words in the Bible, Greek word, agapetos. And it means the one that I have affection for. It actually has that connotation of favorite. This is it. You can look it up. It has the connotation of favorite, like a favorite child. I'm God's favorite. Well, thank you. I knew I was. Every one of you ought to be saying, no, I'm God's favorite. Every one of us, because we're all beloved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love, agape, agape is of God. No, it's not from humans. I want you to see this. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is what? Born of God and what? Okay. Now listen to what it says in the next verse. He who does not love does not what? Know God for what? All right. Now hold on. I want to show you something. Go back to the verse 7. What's the two indication that a person has the love of God? That they're what? What's it say? Everyone who loves is what? Saved and what? Saved and knows. But if you notice what the next thing says in verse 8, he who does not love does not what? It doesn't say they're not born of God. It just says they've not experienced his love. So you can be saved and never experience God's love. There is people that get saved and still operate in shame. There are people that are saved that are trying to still earn God's love. There are people that are saved that are still trying to get God to love them. Okay. So you can be born of God but never truly experience the love of God. You can be born of God, be operating in shame, be operating in your past sin and past failures, have a place that you don't think God loves you, it's disappointed in you. Are you with me here? So if I'm going to operate in the love of God in my home, first thing I got to do, I got to get born of God, and then I need to start experiencing the love of God for myself. Agape can only be achieved by staying connected to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to fill you up every single day, and you and I truly receiving God's love for me. And when God's love takes root in the heart of a person, it starts to become present in a person's life, their home gets rooted in love. Their home gets rooted in the presence of the Lord. Things start to change because families that have the love of God have a powerful weapon against the home's true enemy, which is selfishness, pride, self-seeking. If we're going to get division out of our home, I need to understand that the love of God is in me. I have the ability to love. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what somebody outside these doors says. I don't care what Google says. It is supernatural. You and I can love like God loves. Come on, somebody. You guys are right here. It's in you. I need to experience it for myself. I need to receive. I understand what this is like. You can pray prayers and you can give your heart to the Lord, but you and I can walk around in defeat, failure, thinking that we're a failure, always living from our past sins keep haunting us, keep trying to tell us that we're unworthy. And if you guys don't realize it, listen, you'll walk in that. And then you start displaying that. You start to project your belief of who God is. If you think God's like a whack-a-mole God, there's people that think God's like a whack-a-mole God. Here, whoop-bam. Guess how you'll treat people. you'll treat people the same way. So what does this love look like? Are you ready? You ready? I'm talking about Bible definition. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says on TikTok. I don't care. I'm talking what the Bible says what love is. Let's find out. How about it? Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. You ready? Now, this ain't me. This is the Word of God. You ready? This is what love is. Love is what? Hold on. Now, let's not get too... Because see, you just kind of roll over these. Because it's going to challenge you. Love is what? Love is what? Love's what? Love is what? Just be kind. What if we would do that with our spouse? Just be kind. I've already talked about how God does not want uniformity. He wants unity. God doesn't need you guys to be the same. He needs you to be different. Because if you're the same, then there's no need for one of you. You're different for a reason. Love is kind. It does not what? Envy. It does not boast. It is not what? Click. It does not dishonor others. It is not what? It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Stop. It keeps no record of wrongs. If you're keeping records of wrong, you're on the wrong side. Aren't you glad that God don't keep a record of your wrong? Aren't you? Because that is, love is God. So you can say God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God keeps no record of wrong. It keeps no record of wrongs. Verse, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the what? Verse 7, love protects, love trusts, love hopes, love perseveres. Verse 8, love what? The love of God will never fail. I want to know what God says about love. Because everything thrives in an environment of love. Because where there's love, there's life. Amen. I said, where there's love, there's life. Now look what he says right here in verse, you're there in 1 John chapter 4. Look what it says here in verse 9. It says this, in this the love of God was what? Manifested or clearly revealed to the mind or the senses or the judgments. What he's saying, it's clearly revealed to us. Toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and gave His Son to be the substitution, the propitiation for our sins. How does God love? No reservation, holds nothing back, undeserved. Your spouse needs grace. Well, I saw this happen so many times. People come in for marriage problems and they come in and all of a sudden they start bringing stuff that's happened 3 years ago. It tells you that you never resolved your problem. But we hold on to this stuff because victims, that's what victims do. Victims hold on to things because victims have to have a bad guy. This is politics today. There's always a bad guy. Always a bad guy. They have to have it because if they don't have a bad guy, there's no victims. Anytime there's a bad guy, there's always a victim. And victims begin to lash out because there has to be, if there's a bad guy, there also has to be what? A good guy. So you have side taking starts to happen. And you start pointing the finger and you're to blame and you're to blame. We are suckers. We are suckers to a system. when Jesus got rid of the bad guy, he said, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that spitefully use you. Jesus got rid of the bad guy. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be a victim. Because you're not powerless.
That's good, Pastor.
Because why? People that are a victim are powerless. And they try to control. But God's never called you to be a controller. He's called you to walk in love. And that's a place of power. That's a place of a person knowing who they are in Christ. You guys all right here? You understand what I'm saying? Love, the love of God. Go with me to John 13. Hurry. John 13. Don't listen. Quit making a person out in your home the bad guy. There's a lot I could talk about that. Powerful people don't control. Powerful people are able to love. Powerful people are able to hold their to possess their truth and stand strong in their truth, not worrying, trying to bow to somebody or to people please. There's a lot I could talk to you about. Because when you come from a place of power, you can actually, and I say power as a person that has authority and understands who they are, you know what will start to happen? You're able to love a person that is unlovable. Because why? Me, I don't have, listen, there's things I don't agree with in our society. But it doesn't mean I can't love somebody. Now the Word wants to teach you, if you tell me, if you don't agree with me, then you are, if you don't agree with me, then you're my enemy. No, that's not true. That's a lie. That's a deception. It's a deception from the pit of hell. It causes division. I could not agree with you and still hold my truth. And I can still walk in love and I can still have empathy. But the minute that you become powerless and you become a victim, the next thing you have, manipulation, control starts to come in. All of a sudden now, the blame shifting starts to happen. Happens in the home all the time. You're the bad guy. You're the bad woman. You're falling into the prey of the enemy. Well, that was good. That was worth it right there. You don't know. My mind's like a, I'm telling you, it's like a 6-lane interstate going in inside here. I promise you. There's so much stuff going on. I'm trying to get this stuff out. Holy Spirit said, now you need to stay right here a minute. Look what Jesus said in John 13. John 13 is when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. God washed feet. A job that was menial and a job that was reserved for a slave. They didn't have Nikes, Saucony, or Adidas. They had sandals and they did not have pavement. And on those dirt roads, there wasn't just dirt. There was animal excrement. Could you imagine how dirty those feet were? And the God of this world stooped down and washed the feet of humanity. Jesus even told him, he said, listen, Peter said, you can't wash my feet. He said, I can't wash your feet, I have no place for you. I have no place with you. I can't. I'm going to wash your feet. Because I'm going to show you what it's like to walk in love. I'm going to show you. And he says this in verse 34 of John 13. He says, a new commandment. This word new right here is the Greek word kainos. Kainos. Neos is the other word new, and it means actually to be rebuilt or to be renewed, taking something and renewing it, something that was old. This word here, new, is not that word. It's kainos, and it means something novel, something that never existed before. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give to you that you love what? One another. this is not new. That part's not new. That you love one another is not new. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 19. That's not the new part. The one that's novel, the one that's recently made, the one that's the new kind, the unprecedented love, the one that's unheard of, the one that's uncommon is actually this part here, that you love one another as what? As I have what? Loved you. So that you also what? Love one another's. Look what he says in verse 35. By this. By what? Loving people as I love them will be the way that you're actually identified that you're a disciple of Christ. Not if you're a Republican, not if you're a Democrat, not if you go to church on Sunday morning, not any of that. Jesus said, this is the way that you will know that that people will recognize that you're my disciple is because you will be loving people like I love people. Now, before you go off the edge here, listen, love will confront. Love will call out sin. But I am preaching the gospel today, and the gospel is a gospel that God said, listen, it's a gospel of love. And if we would do this in our homes, listen, every marriage in this room would be like my peace lily after receiving water. Every marriage in this room would thrive. Every marriage in this room, there would never ever be a mention of divorce or separation or anything. It would never happen. Yeah, amen. Why? Because we don't understand the gospel.
Amen.
We want it our way. The new part is I have loved you. Remember a minute ago in 1 John when I talked about how that love is a love that he said, you know, those that are born of God and know God love, right? But those that don't know God don't love. This is the part. Go back to verse 34. This is what Jesus is saying. That you love one another as I have what? People don't understand how God has loved us. And if I don't understand how God loves me, how can I love somebody else?
Amen. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'll save that one. So we can't love without knowing and believing in the love of God He has for us. Once I know how much I love, how much I'm loved, something begins to happen. Jesus is changing the moral ethic of how to relate. Go back to that scripture again. He's changing the moral ethic. The new part is that, listen, I'm going to change. This is the new commandment. The kainos is this. Listen here, verse 34. The new part is that you would love as I have loved you. He's actually telling us this is the new target. He said the word command, a new commandment, entele. I love this word, entele, E-N-T-O-L-E, entele. We would get the word in, which means in something, or it begins to take like a, I think I wrote it down as the condition and when something operates. But I love the next part, because it's two words, entele. It's broken up in two Greek words. The word part, the second part is telos. And this is what it means. Telos means a definite goal, point, plan, target, or standard. He said the new commandment, the new standard, the new point, the new goal, the new target is to love like you've been loved. I don't know about you, but I need to understand how much God loves me. I got to stop earning. It's not about performance, acceptance. It's not. If that was true, then I could work my way to salvation. For by grace I have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When I understand that that naked man on a cross that was there for you and for me, and he was doing it, if you were the only person in this world that needed it, Jesus would have still came and done it for you. He would have. Do you believe in the blood? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus has washed your sin away? Do you believe that? Do you believe this morning that truly your past has been forgiven? Do you truly believe this morning that you are accepted in the beloved? Do you believe this morning that actually as far as the east is to the west, so He has removed your transgressions from you? Why? It's not north to south, it's east to west. Why? Because you can go as far as east and you'll never be able to go west. You'll be able to go west and you'll never be able to go east. It's not north and south, it's east to west. He's the one. Do you believe it this morning, church? Do you believe in the power of the gospel that saved you? Amen. That's redeemed you from a devil's hell? Yes, if we believe it, the Bible says love starts to flourish in our hearts. Whew. You guys are all right here? I'm talking about the love of God this morning. Look what it says here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Real quick. We got baptisms to do. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must what? It didn't say a suggestion. It said what? You must do it. Church, listen. Some of these scriptures really need to be posted on our visors. If we would do these things, it would inject life into our marriages, into our families, into our kids. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14, I just want you to see this one. But above all these things, put on what? Love. Agape. Put on love, which is the what? The bond of... Okay, this word perfection is the Greek word telos, which means is the point. Same what Jesus said in the new commandment. He said, this is the perfection. This is the telos. This is the target. The target, the goal, the definite point that we're going to is love. You are going to become love. But I want you to see the word bond. You see how love is a bond? Everybody say bond. It's the Greek word syndesmos. Now I know it's a word. Some of you people in this room that are medical people, I'm going to bring something out. Syndesmos is what it means. And it means a joint tie. And it means to unite things together or harmony or to bring unity. What's going to bring unity in our home? It's love. Now I did put this picture up, and this is going. I was a nurse for 15 years, so this makes a lot of sense. Okay, I've done a lot of these. This was an ankle fracture. Actually, it's a fibula fracture, and you can kind of see it over here, down here on that little jut out. You can kind of see there's a little bit of an opacity there. That's where the fracture's at. And they put these two screws across, and they call that a syndesmotic screw or a joint tie. What it does, it causes the joint to stay stable. Paul said love is the screw that goes into our marriages and holds us together. Love is what holds us together. Wasn't there a song like that? Love will keep us together. Wasn't there something? Someone help me. Is that right? It just came to me. It's the thing that unifies. And the Apostle Paul said it like that. You can go back now to that scripture. He said, it's the bond, the syndesmos, the screw that's going to keep us on target. It's the bond of perfection. Teleos, the goal. It's the thing that holds this goal together. The goal is for you and I to become love. To become love to the world. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. I'm going to close with this one right here. Mary, I need you to find James 2:8. I need you to find it for me. You guys all right? We'll get baptized here in just a few minutes. I just need you to see this. There's a lot more. James 2:8 says this. But if you really fulfill, notice what he calls it, the royal law. Royal law. Why is it royal? Because it's the governing principle that's given to us by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do what? He calls love the royal law. Notice he calls love a law. A law is something that happens the same exact way every single time. Law. He said, you'll do well. What do you mean do well? It means to be balanced, harmony, good quality, influence, profitable. Stay with me now. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? It's death. The wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. The word sin is the Greek word hamartia. You guys have heard me talk about hamartia. Hamartia means not to be together with. We would actually see it as a target, right? We say sin is missing the target. But it's deeper than that. It actually means to be together with something, because an arrow and a target, they're supposed to be together. Peanut butter, jelly. Right? Sin is us not being together with God. Or being hamartia. Hamaros is actually the two words, and it means to not be together with. So when you and I are in sin, we're not in together, we're not in step with God. And if we're not in step with God, we are now operating the kingdom of darkness. Stay with me. Paul calls it the royal law of love. The royal law of love. God told him when the day in the garden, he said, the day you eat that tree, you're going to what? You will surely die. They didn't die physically until hundreds of years later. No, no, no. They died spiritually that moment. And chaos and corruption was injected into the whole cosmos. Something happened. So it's a law. The cycle of life. God is love, right? 1 John 4:8. God is love. So the law of God is the law of love. So love is always other-centered, giving, self-sacrificial. So love is the model or the design or the template by which everything is supposed to work in our world. Stay with me. I'm about done. The law of love, which is the law of God, because God is love. So the law of God is the law of love. It's supposed to be giving all the time. There's always this cycle. Let me just check this out real quick. You put the pictures up here. First, this is the water cycle. Look. Water falls, collection, evaporation. It causes precipitation. See, water comes from the ground. But this cycle. Giving, receiving. Giving, receiving. Giving, receiving. You cut this off, what happens? You have a drought or death sets in. All right, here's another one. How about this one? This is the law of respiration. You breathe in. See, even in your very makeup is the law of love. All the time. The giving and receiving. But the minute that you stop breathing, and the giving and receiving stops, what happens? Death. Everything that lives gives. If not, it dies. It dies. So the minute, listen now, I'm done. The minute that you and I take a step outside of the law of love, and you start getting selfish in your home, what's on its heels? Death. Because this is the way that God operates. Everything is made under His template, and His template is always giving and receiving, always giving and receiving. And the minute that that stops, the law of God stops, and the law of sin and death begins to be enacted and begins to cause problems. If you and I want a healthy home, listen, church, if you and I want a healthy home, you and I want to walk in unity, you and I want to kick the devil out of our home, listen here, it's going to start with you and I operating again in the law of love. And it's the bond of perfection. It's the screw that will come in. Because if they didn't do that with that screw, the joint space, the joint would be very loose. So you want that to heal in order to cause that joint to stabilize. You guys all right here? All right. You get anything out of that? I'm sorry I was screaming. I wasn't screaming. I'm passionate, okay? I am passionate. Andy says it all the time. She's smiling at me because I'm telling you, I'm passionate. I am passionate. I am passionate. I'm passionate. Yeah, I'm passionate. All right. I want to go ahead and release everybody out that's going to be baptized. So if you're being baptized today, I want you guys to go on out there, get dressed. If you need a shirt, go ahead and get the kids. There's some kids back there that's being baptized, so we need to get those guys out real quick, ushers. But I don't.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.